number 3, 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let's bow our hearts down in a word of prayer. God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and for the opportunity of looking at your word this morning and studying it together. And as we do, we pray that the things said and done would honor and glorify the name of Christ and be edifying to the saints. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. Oh, yes. Do you want to mention about Gordon? Gordon is going in tomorrow morning to have a stent put in his heart. So, yeah, do keep Gordon as a matter of prayer, too. He had catheterization done Thursday this past week. They found, you know, two arteries were 50% blocked. One was 80%. And that 80% one they need to fix. So he's going in tomorrow morning to have that stent put into his heart. So do remember Gordon in prayer tomorrow especially too. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And of course this is a time, you know, one of the families in our assembly, we as an assembly have suffered a loss, and it's a time when we look for comfort. And I've been reading this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we talked about this a little bit Wednesday night, those of you that were here, when we first heard about Bob's passing. And I think this passage is an important one for us to understand and to get a grip on, especially at a time like this. Paul, in verse 3 there, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, gives God a title. A title which is not one of the more common titles of God, but it's certainly one that is very meaningful for us. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He calls God the God of all comfort. And comfort, consolation, hope is what we all seek when we go through any kind of a trial, any kind of a problem, any kind of a difficulty in our life. What we're seeking is comfort. In verse 4, he says, speaking of God, says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And it's interesting that Paul gives you this little progression here, which is very similar to what he says about other things in other places. He says that God is going to comfort us in verse 4. He'll comfort us in all our tribulation, but that's not the end of it. The purpose of God comforting us is not the end result. The end result is then so that we can comfort others which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So Paul says, God is going to comfort you in your trial and your tribulation. You then take that understanding of that comfort and you pass it on to others so that they can then pass it on to others. Keep your hand here and go over to 2 Timothy. It's the same kind of a thing that he talks about when he talks about sharing the truth and passing on that truth. In 2 Timothy 2:2, we use this passage often to talk about what's the purpose of teaching. And here's the purpose, 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul imparted some information to Timothy. Timothy, I want you to commit that to others who shall be able to commit it on to others. You shall be able to commit it to others. And so the process goes. The issue of comfort in 2 Corinthians, he says the same kind of a thing. God is going to provide you with comfort so that you can then provide others with comfort so that they can then go on and comfort others so that they will comfort others. And so the process goes. And so the body of Christ can comfort itself and edify itself and build itself up. But when you read this passage, God, the God of all comfort who comforteth us in all our tribulation, I think you need to go beyond that a little bit and understand how that comfort comes. You know, you can say, well, I'm just going to pray real hard and ask God, okay, you know, hit me with some comfort. Or today the popular thing is, well, will the Holy Spirit will come and he'll overshadow us like a dove, and I'll feel this great peace and this great, you know, sense of well-being and all of that kind of thing. is that really the comfort that we're looking for? Is that really the kind of comfort that Paul has in mind when he says God is a God of all comfort? Or is there some other way that comfort is provided than just this warm feeling that we want God to give us? Well, you know, if you go back to Romans chapter 15, we're going to look at several passages like this, but Romans 15, you know, to me is one that really hits the nail on the head, as it were, of understanding where does this comfort come from? If God is the God of all comfort, then where does that comfort come from? Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So Christ took the reproaches of them that reproached God. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, that is, these things that were written about Christ and what he suffered, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort, what are the next three words? Of the Scriptures. We through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have what? Hope. So where does our patience and our comfort and our hope come from? The Scriptures. See, God is the God of all comfort. He comforteth us in all our tribulation and all our troubles. But you need to understand where he put that comfort, where we go for that comfort. Where we go for that comfort is not just, you know, waiting for God to make me feel better, or waiting for the Spirit to come and fill me with a warm, fuzzy feeling. That's not what Paul talks about when he says God is the... That's not what he means when he says God is the God of all comfort. What he means is what he says here in Romans chapter 15, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. The God of patience and consolation. Another word for comfort is console. When you console someone, you comfort them. He's the God of all consolation, patience and consolation. But that patience and that comfort, that consolation comes through the Scriptures. And through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we have hope. It's the consolation, the comfort that we get from the Scriptures that gives us hope, a confident expectation of some blessing to come. Now, you can talk about this comfort in all kinds of different contexts. You know, the comfort can come in any kind of trial, any kind of situation, any kind of circumstance in your life. But this idea that it comes through the Scriptures... Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to come back to 2 Corinthians as we close today, but we need to understand where this comfort comes. There's two things. Number one, where does this comfort come from the Lord? How do we get it? And then number two, how do we share that comfort with others? Because that's really what Paul's talking about there. We are comforted by the Lord so that we can comfort others. So we need to know where it comes from for us, and then how do we share that comfort with others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and this is a passage where Paul's talking about exactly the situation that this assembly is going through right now. And he says in verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no what? Hope. Remember what he said back in Romans chapter 15? That through the comfort, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, ye might have hope. So something about that patience and that comfort that you get in the Scriptures gives you hope. He talks here about the fact that you have hope. I don't want you to sorrow like others which don't have hope, because you have hope. And then he's going to tell us some things, verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, what's the next word? Comfort one another with these words. What words? The words in Scripture. The words that Paul just gave you there, which are a part of Scripture, a part of God's Word, specifically a part of Paul's revelation to the church, the body of Christ. So where do you go for comfort? Well, you comfort one another with these words. And it's those words that make you, if you go back down to verse 13, it's those words that tell you that you are not without hope, that you have hope. And we understand the scriptural definition of hope, a confident expectation of some future blessing to come. So again, it's the words. It's always the words on the page where Paul sends you for comfort. It is not some magical, mystical thing. It is not just, you know, I hope I'll feel better about this. It is some information. It's some truth that we can understand that provides us with comfort, with consolation, and ultimately with hope. Look over in chapter 5, just across the column there. It is in my Bible anyhow. Chapter 5, verse 11. Paul says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, when we talk about edify, when we say we're going to edify someone, what are we generally talking about? Teaching, exactly. We're talking about teaching them, the truth of God's Word, building them up, edifying. We get our word edifice from edifying. When we say we're building an edifice, we're building something up, building a building. When we edify someone, we're building them up in the faith. We're teaching them, we're instructing them. And notice that in that verse, Paul puts edification with comfort. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another. You see, there is no comfort apart from edification. And that's what we need to understand this morning. The God of all comfort, who comforts you in all your tribulation, that there is no comfort apart from edification, apart from the understanding of God's Word. Comfort one another with these words, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. We talk all the time at Grace Alive about the importance of studying God's Word and teaching God's Word and understanding God's Word. And you need to realize the reason that that's so important, and the reason that, you know, we're a broken record about that kind of stuff, is because that's the only thing that will give you this comfort, this consolation, this hope that Paul talks about so much. People come all the time, you know, to me with some problem or trial or difficulty, and, you know, they want comfort or consolation or counseling or advice or whatever. And what I've found over the years is that here's the thing, the problem. When things are going good in your, let's go back a step. When things are all topsy-turvy in your life, when they're turned all upside down, it is not a good time to try to understand some new truth, because your mind just can't, you know, when you're going through some real tragedy in your life, whether it's a death or a divorce or a, you know, financial collapse or whatever it is, and I try to say, now, here's what God's Word has to say about that. You can tell when you're talking to people. It's going, it's just flying right through their head and out the other side, because they're so engulfed in the pain of that situation that you just, you know, when you've been through times in your life where things are just, you know, you're in a turmoil, and then you try to think clearly about things, does it work? It doesn't work. You know, your brain is still up there, but it's just not working right. So what you need to do is, when things are good, you know, there are those little times in your life when you wake up in the morning and you say, I guess there's nothing to worry about today. You know, a few of those days anyhow. And when you have those good times in your life, when things are going well, when there is no tragedy, when there is no calamity, you know, either personally, nationally, whatever the case is, use that time to fill your mind, to edify your mind with the Word of God. Because I can guarantee you, if anything is sure in life, it's that, you know, my dad was a big fan of Murphy's Law. You know, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And the follow-up to that is, if there's a possibility of several things going wrong, the one that will go wrong is the one that will do the most damage. And then the final one is, if everything is going good, watch out, you've obviously overlooked something. So that's just the way life on this planet is. So I can promise you that if everything's going well around the corner, there is something coming that will be a trial, a difficulty, a tribulation, a gut punch for you. And when that thing comes, if you hope to have comfort and consolation and hope in the midst of that thing, you better have filled your mind, edified yourself with the things you need to deal with that. Because when you're in the midst of that, and I've seen this time and time again, when you're in the midst of that thing, I mean, it's good to have friends, it's good to have fellow believers, it's good to have all that. You know, you can hold your hand and say, it's going to be all right, it's going to get better. But the bottom line is, in the midst of that thing, you will not take in and retain a lot of information and knowledge. The best you can do is just get through it. Get on the other side of it, and then on the other side of it, you begin to get grounded. That's why Bible study, Bible teaching, that's why all the stuff we teach, you say, well, how does that have anything to do with this terrible thing that might happen to me down the road? Well, understanding the Scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth, understanding what our hope is as members of the body of Christ, understanding what our comfort is as members of the body of Christ, all of that is what will provide you comfort and consolation and hope in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a difficulty. That's why Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Edify yourselves with these words that I have given you. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians 4, there is the passage where Paul talks about prayer, and it's the primary passage in Paul's epistles where he describes prayer and describes the function of prayer, describes how it works. And again, in that passage, we're going to see that the key to making that prayer work is the knowledge that you have, the understanding that you have. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what you want when you're in the midst of trial. You want peace. I need some peace. I need my mind and my heart to be at peace. And that's hard to do when things are falling apart around you. Mary Jane told me yesterday that yesterday morning she woke up like at 2:30 in the morning and couldn't sleep again because there's just all this stuff going through her head. What about this? What about that? You know, that's the times like that are when you don't have peace and all you want, I mean, you'd give everything you have if I could just put my head down on that pillow and not have all this stuff going through my head. If I could just have peace. If I could just have comfort. You realize that's the goal of prayer in the dispensation of grace. The goal of prayer in the dispensation of grace is not to get you healed, not to take all the problems away, not to move mountains, not to do all that stuff. The goal of prayer in the dispensation of grace is to keep your heart and your mind at peace, to give you that comfort and that consolation and that hope. But as you know, in verse 8, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what will put your mind at peace? What do you need to think about to put your mind at peace? Good things. You need to think about if there be any, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Well, where do you find those things? You find them in the Scriptures. Think on these things. See, Paul always sends you back to the Scriptures. Always. The Scriptures are your, you know, from just a basic practical doctrinal standpoint. Well, why do you guys make such a big deal about the King James Bible? Well, does it really matter? Well, you know, if the Scriptures are your resource, and if your apostle is constantly sending you back to the Scriptures for your comfort, to the Scriptures for your consolation, to the Scriptures for your hope, to the Scriptures for everything, then isn't it pretty important to know where the Scriptures are and that you've got them? See, the doctrine, all the detail of the doctrine that we teach ends up having meaning when you get into a problem or a difficulty in your life. Because it's those Scriptures that you're going to get your comfort from. Think on these things in Scripture. It gets more specific in verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Now, where are the things that you've learned and heard and received and seen in Paul? In the Scriptures, but which Scriptures specifically? In his letters. So he makes it even more specific. If you want this, and then, what's the next word? Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You mean I got to do something? Well, if you want, the closing phrase in that verse is, and the peace of God shall be with you. See, if you do those things, the God of peace shall be with you. He'll be with you. If you do the things that you see in me, if you do the things that the world tells you, you're not going to have peace. If you do the things that Moses did, you're not going to have peace. If you do the things that Christ did in his earthly ministry, you're not going to have peace. But if you do the things that you see in my epistles, the things you've learned of me, if you view things the way I told you to view them, then you'll have peace. That peace that passes all understanding. That process is what prayer is all about. That process of taking the circumstance, be anxious for nothing, be careful for nothing rather. Don't be full of care. Don't be full of anxiety. But present this thing to the Lord. And you know, presenting this thing to the Lord doesn't have, you know, prayer is not just, you know, oh God in heaven, please. That's not. Now, if you want to pray that way, that's fine. I'm not going to yell at you for it. But understand that as you think through the circumstances of your life, as you think through the details of your life, as you think through that thing that's making you hurt right now, as you're thinking about that, does God know what you're thinking about it? I mean, he knows. We kind of treat prayer as, well, I'm going to go over here and think about this thing, decide what I ought to do. Then I'm going to go pray about it. Well, now, wait a minute. You're not hiding from God what your thoughts are. How close is God to you if you're a believer? He's as close as the, we always say he's as close as the breath in your lungs. He's as close as the blood in your veins and arteries. He's in you. So if you're going to think about a problem, think through a situation, think through a circumstance, think through a heartache that you have, why not just understand you're doing it in the presence of the Lord? And as you think through that thing, remember, the Lord and I are thinking through this thing. And then you need to find the answer to that thing. And that's where the thinking on things that are pure and lovely and good report and the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in Paul. Because that's where the answer is. The answer is not in, I'm going to tell God all my problems. He'll be my garbage dump. The answer to your problem, to your prayer, is in the verses, is in what he tells you. If you get you ever get one of these kits that you build furniture with? You know, at Walmart, I want a desk, so I'm going to go to Walmart and I buy this kit and I get all these pieces and it comes in a box about this wide and you think, how could a desk be in a box that wide? And you take it home and you pour it out on your living room floor and there's all these parts and all these pieces and all these little fasteners and all these little hooks and you think, oh my goodness, what have I done? How does this become a desk? Now, you can complain to your wife and say, I don't know how, what part A goes into slot B and part, and you can keep telling all your problems. And somewhere along the line, what is your wife going to say to you? Yeah. See, you've all done it. Read the instructions. And, you know, you can dump all your problems on God all you want. But if you don't take time to read his instructions for the answers, I can complain to my wife about the stupid Japanese guy that packed this thing up all I want. It is not going to get that desk built. It is not. I might feel better because I got it off my chest, but it hasn't solved anything. And you can tell God about your problems all you want, but if you don't do what Paul says to get the peace of God, then it's not going to have an effect. It's not going to work. You're not going to get what you really want out of the thing, which is peace. So understand where comfort comes from. Comfort comes when we allow the comfort and the consolation and the hope of the Scriptures to rule in our hearts and in our minds. That's where it comes from. That's why understanding the Scriptures is important. That's why the focus of our ministry here is the Scriptures, understanding the Scriptures. Because I can hold your hand and say it's all going to be better. But in the first place, that's really a lie because I don't know that it's all going to get better. It might get worse before it gets better. In the second place, that really doesn't solve the problem, does it? Solving the problem is what Paul says, to have peace. That's what you want, is the peace. Go back to the passage we started with, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And once we understand that, once we have the peace, once we have the consolation that can only come through an understanding of Scripture, that's why the whole present day evangelical Christian movement, which goes away from Bible study to a very emotion-based and experience-based situation, it will never cut it. That's why Christianity is so either hot or cold, or hot or cold, because it's all based on emotion. None of it is based on a firm grasp of truth, which is the only thing that in the end we have to hold on to, is that truth. And then once we understand that, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says in verse 4 there, God comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, if the way you get comfort in your situation is by understanding the Scriptures, then how are you going to comfort somebody in their situation? Through the Scriptures. That's it. I said, it's not just holding someone's hand and saying, I really feel for you and it's going to get better. That's not it. To really comfort someone, to really be a minister of comfort to them, you need to impart and instill to them the truth of God's Word, the Scriptures. That's where the comfort is. And comfort, you understand that comfort is not as much an emotional thing as it is a mind thing. You know, you can be upset emotionally, but still have great comfort. It's kind of the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is tied to happenings. If everything's going good, I'm happy. But I've dealt with people many times where things were not going good and they weren't happy about their life, but they had joy. They had real joy about who they were in Christ, what they had in Christ, the blessings they had in Him, what their destiny was. They had real joy, even though they weren't happy. And that's kind of the thing that comfort is. Comfort is not a feeling of well-being. Comfort is that joy, that understanding of the circumstance, of the situation, and your ability to go through that situation in hope. And Paul says, once you've grasped that, you can then pass it on to others. And what you pass on to others is the truth of God's Word. You know, I went through that same thing. And when I went through that same thing, I found this verse. And I read and I thought about this verse this way in light of my situation. And sometimes when I'm teaching, I'll say this. Now, here's a verse that we've read many times, but think about the verse in the context of thus and so. And that might be what happened with you in a trial or a tribulation. There's this verse I read 1,000 times, and then, when I was going through this certain thing, I read it, and I thought, oh, that's what Paul meant by that. That's what God was trying to tell me there. And then when someone else is going through that same problem, a similar situation, a similar difficulty, that's when you can edify them. That verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, you comfort and edify. You come alongside and you edify, and as you edify, as you build up, that provides comfort. And you comfort others with the comfort wherewith you are comforted. And that's more than just saying, I'm going to say this, I've said it a couple times, I'm going to say it again. That's more than just saying, I understand what you're going through and things will get better. That may be a part of it. Because if you've gone through that same thing, you do understand what they're going through. And you do understand that there's light on the other side of all that. That's true. But the way to get from here where it's dark to here where it's light quickly involves going through the Scriptures. More than just an emotional fix, but a fix that provides real comfort. And if you look at this Scripture and look at this Scripture and believe these Scriptures and look at these verses and read this passage, you'll get there. You'll get there faster. Because you'll be getting there based on the truth of God's Word. And when you get there, it'll be a real thing. Not just because over time you feel better. I mean, that's just the way nature is. The further in the past some hurt gets, the less it hurts. But the real solution to it is the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures provide a comfort. Even when you don't feel better yet, it still provides a comfort. So we need all to understand, not just in this situation, in this circumstance, but as you go on through life, there's always going to be those trials, those tribulations, those troubles. And Paul tells us that we have a God of all comfort. Sometimes, and the reason this is important for us to understand, sometimes when we talk about the fact that God is not intervening today, God is not reaching down to, fix my situation, God is not reaching down to put His Spirit on me to lift me up, people get the idea, wrong idea, but they get the idea, well, then you're saying God doesn't care about me. I go through all these terrible things, and he just doesn't care. He's gonna let me get cancer. He's gonna let me die. He's gonna let my child die. He's gonna let me suffer financial ruin. He's just gonna let these things happen. And it is true that God lets those things happen because you live in a sin-cursed world. Not by his choice, by man's choice. But it is not true that he doesn't care about those things. Because he has given to you the resource, his word, to provide you comfort in the midst of your tribulation. And he has given us, as members of the body of Christ, the ability to interact with one another so that we can provide comfort to those that need comfort, to those that are hurting, that need the same thing we've received from the Scripture. So don't ever think that because God is not intervening to fix my problem, it means he doesn't care about my problem. It means that he wants us to function as what we are, adult sons of God, with the resource that he's given us, his word. As your children get older and they grow up and they become adults, the hardest thing to do, and now, of course, you know, we have, you know, Ryan's away at school, so we're experiencing all this. Tammy being older, her son went away to school sooner. But you know we're experiencing all this. And the hardest thing is, you know, you still want to fix every problem. When something goes wrong, I got to fix that problem. But you have to, at some point, you have to say, you know what? He needs to fix that problem by himself. Based on what he's been taught, based on what he knows, based on, you know, what we've instilled in him, he has to fix that problem by himself. Now, does that mean you don't care about them anymore? Not hardly. But it does mean you're acknowledging something. They're adults. And they now need to fix those problems based on the truth that you've instilled in them for all those years. God has made us full-grown adult sons in Christ. And when we and he's given us the resource, the information, he's instilled in this book, sound doctrine. And when we face those trials and those difficulties, the fact that he doesn't reach down and fix it all for us isn't because he doesn't care about us. It's because he's acknowledging the fact that we are now adult sons in Christ. And he has put with us the resource we need to face those problems. And now he allows us to face it, to sink or to swim, based on what he's taught us and what he's given us. And it's from those scriptures. So when you're looking for this comfort, you know, the fact that God doesn't reach down and just make you feel all better, it doesn't mean he doesn't care. But it means you're an adult son, and I've given you the resource, and you need to go to that resource and find the comfort in those scriptures. And then when you find the comfort in those scriptures, be sure to share that comfort with others by sharing those scriptures with others. And have comfort and consolation and hope of the scriptures which are given by God. Let's pray. Our God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and for the comfort that he provides us in his word. And we pray that each of us, as we go through this time of loss in our assembly and move on, that we would do so not just based on the passage of time and feeling better about it, but that we would do so based on the comfort, the consolation, and the hope that your word provides. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.